The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Our guest speaker today is missionary Bob Riles. He'll be teaching out of Psalm 103, the Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Favorite Psalms. It's a place that I think David, when he wrote this psalm, was trying to encourage himself. And when I read it, I just get encouraged all the time. And it says, praise the Lord, my soul. I memorized it originally, and I guess it was the King James. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Why, he forgives us of our sins. He heals our diseases. He picked us up out of a pit. He picked us out of a pit and crowned us with love and righteousness and his glory. And that he fills our mouth with good things, that our youth may be renewed like the eagles. What wonderful scripture and what wonderful encouraging words. And we're going to take some time to look all the way through here and see what was being said. This word bless, when he says bless the Lord, this word bless means to bow down. It means to yield yourself completely. It means complete abandonment. So we're saying, Lord, bless the Lord. I bow down. I acknowledge you. I worship you. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are my everything and my all. I reserve nothing for myself, says David in this, by the choice of that word. He also says in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3 and 8, and another place where he was praising the Lord, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's raining outside, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Not the whining, not the complaining, not the arguing, but his praise will constantly be in my mouth. My soul shall make it boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together, which is exactly what we've been doing this morning. And down in verse 8, a little bit further, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joy of those who take refuge in him. I live a life of joy, and I know you do too. And joy doesn't always mean a giddy, carefree, silly existence. Joy just means that peace and that confidence, that hope for tomorrow, that somehow it's all going to be okay. Somehow there's going to be enough to pay that house note like we were talking about. Somehow it's going to be enough for us to have the strength and the courage to be able to go on with the challenges in front of us. Somehow it's going to be okay in raising our kids and dealing with the tensions on the job, that we're going to be able to stand up to it all, that we're going to make it okay, that he's going to make it okay through us and with us and for us. Amen? Psalm 103 gives us a great progression of our life, and this is what I'd like to kind of follow this morning. It begins with forgiveness. He forgives our sins. And that forgiveness of sins leads to a fullness of our life. And that fullness leads us to being able to reconcile ourselves to each other as a family. And finally, after forgiveness and after fullness and after family, comes our future with him. It's the complete package. It's the complete package. It's not a Sunday morning package. It's not a package of let's praise the Lord, let's get ourselves encouraged, and we're going to jump back into the troubles around us. I walk through that world every day just like you. I've got the same bills to pay just like you, but we don't have to be bogged down by it. We don't have to be pulled down and tread upon by the things of the world. I can walk above that stuff because I know who my God is and I know how much He cares for me. Well, all of this begins with He forgives all of our iniquities. How many is all?
All.
He reserves nothing. There is, for those of us who believe, no unforgivable sin. For those of us who believe and follow after Jesus Christ, there's nothing that we can say or do that He's not willing to forgive. The neat side of it, He already knows who you are. You know, we can ask for forgiveness. We can ask Him to help us and to do this and to do that. But long before you thought to ask, long before you felt the need to be forgiven, He already knew. And He was standing there waiting and ready for you right from the beginning. There was not a thing in your life. And I've been a scoundrel in my life, and I'm sure that there have been some days that you've been pretty rotten yourself. I know some of you, and I know that's true. But I want to tell you, even those days, He's put aside. He has forgiven all of our sins. He explains this further in verses 8 through 12, a little further down. He said, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse nor remain angry forever." Oh, He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal with us harshly as we deserve. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. He looks at us when we are in our sins, not with a superiority of saying, "Listen, you're not there yet." He looks at us with compassion and mercy, saying, "They tripped again. They fell down again. Look at that." Just like my little 8-month-old now grandson is learning how to stand up and learning how to take his first steps. He hadn't quite got there yet. I'll be sure to notify you when he does. I will. He hadn't quite got there yet, but he takes that step and he falls. And I don't stand there and say, "Now, son, you need to get up and do it better." But rather pick him up, dust him off, and watch him try again. That's the same way the Lord works with us. He's compassionate. He's merciful towards us. And He's really slow to get angry with us. He's not going to say, "You did it again. I told you before. I'm not going to tell you again." I don't think God knows those words. I don't think He comes after us. Because the Scripture said, and David uses this to encourage himself, that we walk, we do our best, we try. And when we fail, He's not going to get that. He's not going to get angry quickly with us. He's slow to anger. And He's filled with an unfailing love. You just can't put Him off. Now, I can't hardly imagine that any more than I can imagine what it is to have an eternal existence. Because you stop and you think about that, and your mind goes back and says, okay, there's creation. And then before creation, there's a description of the void and the emptiness there. And every time you get to the place that you think you got someplace, then there's more. The same way that eternity cannot be understood, I don't think we can fully understand, is His unfailing love for us. He will not constantly accuse us. He's not one to put His finger in your face and constantly said, "Now I'm telling you again." He's not there. We accuse ourselves. The enemy accuses us, bringing us guilt and bringing us fear and bringing us a feeling of unworthiness. But God doesn't stick His finger in your face and tell us what a scoundrel you are. We do. The enemy does, but the Father doesn't. He does not punish us according to our sins. And aren't you glad for that one? Aren't you glad that we don't get what we deserve? Because every one of us deserves hell. But we don't get it. We don't get it in eternity, and we don't have to suffer that here either. We can live a life of joy and a life of peace and a life of a fullness of life. And I'm not belittling. I mean, don't take this as Bob is belittling my problems. Bob is saying you got to come up on top of this stuff. You can't let it get you down. Listen, these things will get us down from time to time. But that's why we gather together. That's what church is all about to me. It's to praise the Lord and to encourage each other in our faith. That's why it's good for us to go more than once a week. Sometimes I need to fill up halfway through the week. I need to come and be encouraged again. Somebody needs to tell me again, I'm going to be all right. Then 3 or 4 days later, I need to hear it again. We need each other. We need to encourage each other in all of this. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great, as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Now, I don't know how high that is, but it's higher than I can jump. It's higher than I can reach. I knew a guy, a professional football player. He said he had a 34-inch vertical jump, flat-footed. He could stand up, and he could jump up 34 inches. Now, that's high, but that's not nearly as high. Not nearly as high as God's love. Why, it says it's the height of the heavens above the earth. And then the last one is, he has removed our sins as far from us as far as the east is from the west. Now, that's another one of those eternal things. You can't ever get there. You head in that direction. You go in that direction, but you ain't ever going to get there. The closest galaxy to us is the Milky Way. And you can see the Milky Way on a clear night. And that's kind of close to us, I guess you'd think. You know how far the next galaxy is? 2.5 million light years away. That's far. And you can go from here to the Milky Way in another 2.5 million light years, and you know what? Your sins are still further away from you than that. In other words, they're gone. So where did they go? Where did they go? Where did these sins go? Well, friends, for you and I who believe, they were pinned on that cross 2,000 years ago. That's where they are. They didn't disappear. They didn't wipe them off and just said, it wasn't important. Don't worry about it. God said it is important. Sin against me is important. But it's not for you to worry about. Jesus took those sins upon himself so that you and I could have that joy in this life. So you and I can have a hope for tomorrow that far exceeds anything that we deserve. You and I can have a hope for tomorrow that we can pass on to our kids. I may not have a lot of money to pass on to my kids or property or houses or anything else that I'm going to pass on someday. Maybe a few mortgages here and there. But I can pass on to my kids the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can pass on to my friends an eternal salvation, eternal riches, by being willing to share the word. Amen? Amen? The ultimate forgiveness came at the ultimate cost. The Father gave his only Son to die on the cross for us. Amen? There's a story about a little boy who went to first grade, and he got the idea. He saw all those girls and different people there, and he got the idea that he was going to be a tough boy. And he didn't want to do any sissy stuff, you know. So the teacher passed out a coloring book and told the kids to start coloring the pictures in there, and they got the book out and they started coloring. Well, he didn't want to be a sissy and make everything pretty, so he got that crayon out and he went, and he scratched up the pages, and it was just terrible looking. And he flipped the page, and he did it again, and the teacher was walking around checking everybody's work, and she got to him, and she stopped him and said, now, this is not what we need to do. Let me help you. We'll do this together. So they started coloring, and he kind of got the idea, and she convinced him a little bit that it wouldn't be a sissy that, you know, some of the great artists in the world have been men and they've done wonderful things, and you can do this, and it's going to be a good thing, and you can be a big boy if you color this stuff right. So she talked him into it, and he began to color, and he did it right like he should. Well, that day went on, and a couple of weeks later, they had a parents' night at school. He walked in, and to his terror, the teacher had put a bunch of papers on each of the students' desks so the parents could see what the students had been doing. Well, the boy went into shock. He saw that book there, and he knew what had happened. So he told his mama. He said, Mama, look at this one. Look at this one, trying to call attention to everybody else but himself. And Mama says, no, baby, I came here to look at your stuff. I want to see your work. I want to see what you did. So she picked up his coloring book, and she was looking at it, and she was turning the pages, and a tear came from her eye, and she says, son, this is beautiful. Son, this is wonderful. I am so proud of you and what you've done. And he didn't know what to make of it all. She said, thank you for coloring this so I could see it. And she closed the book and put it down, and she started looking at some of the other kids' work, and he couldn't figure it out, so he went back and he looked at the book. And all those pages that had been scribbled on had been cut out. They were nowhere to be found, and there wasn't even an evidence that those pages ever existed, because the teacher went back and she cut all those ugly pages out so that when his mama came, all she saw was his best effort. Jesus has cut those pages of our life that we've scribbled on. He's taken those pages away. They're not even in your coloring book anymore. All of those things, he's done that with. You and I wish we could tear those pages out ourselves, but you know what? When he takes them out, they're gone. You can't even tell he'd been there. You can't even tell. And it's that way with this forgiveness that he gives us. And this is where David was encouraging himself, where he said he forgives all of our sins. And that's what that forgiveness means. As far as the east is from the west, those pages have been cut out of our coloring book. And what's left are the good things of his creation. Do we still struggle? Oh, yeah. Do we still have issues? Oh, yeah. Are you going to continue to have issues? Oh, yeah. Some of you more than others. You know what I'm saying? But we're all going to make it to the end because he forgives us our sins and he takes care of us. Amen. Give God the glory. They give glory to God the Father because he forgives us with the ultimate forgiveness and the ultimate fullness. Verse 5 said, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God has promised to meet every need that you have. Was there ever a better time in our life when we were kids? For me, it was great. Maybe yours wasn't so good. And if it wasn't, I'm sorry. I really am. But for me, childhood was great. It was a time during the summertime when my family and I lived near City Park in New Orleans, right on Marconi Drive by the Tad Gormley Stadium. And I go ride my bike through City Park and find golf balls on the side of the road. I hope there wasn't somebody was still playing the game. I guess I didn't know to look, but if I'd see a golf ball, I picked it up, you know. And just riding my bike and exploring with some of the kids in the neighborhood and climbing trees and do all the stuff that we did. And, you know, it was just a time of innocence. It was just a time of things were okay. I didn't really have to worry about the big picture. You know, I didn't worry about where the next meal was coming from. I knew it would be there and I knew it'd be good. I didn't have to worry about whether I was going to get someplace or not, because if it was too far to ride my bike, I knew my daddy would take me. You know, it was just good when I was a kid. And it's that kind of innocence when the scripture talks about filling our mouth with good things so our youth is renewed. To me, it speaks of of a special time in life, maybe a better time in life than now, a time when somebody really was in charge and I really didn't have to worry about that, worry about things. As adults, we're reminded of Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a fullness of life. It's a fullness of restoring, not only forgiving your sins, but restoring a quality of life that we can enjoy, a quality of life that we can share with each other. And it resembles a good childhood with a loving father who forgives us and helps us and teaches us, but also provides for us in a way that our life is complete. Our life is complete. You know, I've said many times that if there was no heaven and if there was no hell, and I believe that there is a heaven and I believe that there is a hell, so don't get me confused now. But if there was not, if this is all there was, I'd still serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd still live the life that I live because it's a rich life, not in dollars, not in stuff. But it's a rich life in people. It's a rich life in relationships. It's a rich life in a satisfaction of a life well lived. That one day when I close my eyes, I can close my eyes knowing that I've served the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we've done what we could to be a blessing to other people in other situations, that we've not been selfish and competed for the toys of life, but rather we walk by the toys of life for the purpose of serving others. It says in Habakkuk chapter 3, it says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crops fail and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He will make me as sure-footed as a deer and bring me safely over the mountain. He satisfies us. He gives us a satisfying life, a good life, and a full life. Amen? Amen. He starts with forgiveness. He gives us a fullness of life. And what does that do? It prepares us to be a part of His family. In verses 13 and 14, it said, the Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. For He knows how weak we are, and He remembers. God remembers that we're only dust. When we recognize that God is God and we're accountable to Him, when we recognize that we're lost without Him, when we realize that He loves us and has sent His Son to die for us, when we receive His Son, risen Son as our Lord and Savior, then we're part of that family. We're part of a family where we have a loving Father who guides us and directs us, who's provided for us. And one of the best parts of that family is each other. I love being with God's people. Because each one of us carries their own special part of Jesus Christ. Each one of us has different gifts and talents and abilities and outlooks on life. And I don't want any of you to change. I want all of you to be, and I want to be the evolution, if I can use that word in a good way. I want to be the evolution of what God created me to be without the mess that the world has tried to be. I don't want to be you, and I don't want you to be me. I want you to be you and me to be me, and I want to put your you and my me together. And you know what? As God's children, it's going to be better. Because I'm not complete within myself, and neither are you. But the more of us that gather ourselves together and take prayer walks in Washington, D.C., we can't all go. Wish we could. Get a big bus. A million passenger bus. We'll go. But we can't do that. But you're going to go and do that for us. There's going to be others who's going to do other things. I've been to the other side of the world to minister to people in Albania and Spain and now, pardon me, throughout Europe. That's my part. That's what I do. It's not any more special than what you do. We all do our part. And when we put our part together, then our Father is pleased. Just like, you know, just like in a family, you know, all of our kids are not alike. I got a couple of them, you know, and they ain't all alike. They think different and act different and do things different and have different giftings. Some are mechanical and some are musical. I have a daughter who plays the flute. Can't figure that thing out. But she can and she plays it. I have a son who fixes computers. Can't figure it out. But he does. I have a son who teaches college level courses in high school and calculus and stuff like that. What is that about? How did I get one of them, you know? They're all different. But I tell you what, put them together and put them together. You got a pretty neat package. You got the music to keep us happy and dancing. And you got the guy who can fix anything and make it run. And I got the guy who can think theory and science and stuff like that. You know, we got a bunch of great kids. And so does God. He's got a bunch of great kids. And that's you and me. And that's, I think, the reason we call each other brother and sister, is because you are my brother and you're my sister and we're all in the same family. But you can't be in that family unless it begins with forgiveness of all of your sins, accepting what Jesus did for you, and becoming the fullness of who you are as a human being, and recognizing the gifts and recognizing the good stuff that God put in you. And then we can become that family. Then some of us can play keyboards, and some of us can nail nails, and some of us can go out and serve hopeless and hungry people during the week that need just a little extra help. Amen? Friends, it takes all of us. It takes pastors with one arm. It takes missionaries with no hair. And it takes beautiful men and women. I knew you'd recognize that one. Friends, it takes all of us to make it happen. Pull together in the family, caring for each other. Brother Jim hit it right on the head. Where's our first responsibility? It's in the family. And where's the family? Sitting next to you and in front of you and back of you. That's where the family is. And our Heavenly Father keeps us in that family. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know Him." Begins with forgiveness, fullness, family. Does not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. You think you've done some good stuff? Hang on, kid. God ain't finished with you yet. You ain't done it all yet. He's still got stuff that needs to be done, and you're the one He's tagged to do it. Amen? But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and He will see you as you are. You're not an accident. You're where you are in life now is not an accident. You're exactly where God would have you be because he picked you up. Verse 4 says he picked you up. It says he redeemed your life from the pit and crowned you with love and compassion. You know, I've preached in a lot of different parts of the world, and most people understand pits. But in Louisiana, I like to think of it as a ditch. You know what I'm saying? He picked us up out of the ditch. There's all kind of things that crawl out of them ditches, you know? Some of them we eat and some of them we kill. But they crawl out of that ditch. And that's where every one of us was when he found us. We were wallowing around in some kind of a ditch somewhere, covered with who knows what. Okay, all kind of green stuff and plants and crawfish hanging off your ears. You had earring crawfish, right? But that's where he found us. And he said he cleaned us up. I suppose he must have hosed us off first to get, you know, just a good fire hose probably for me. He hosed us off. And then what does he do? Man, he crowns us with love and compassion. He puts a robe on us. He puts rings on our fingers. He puts dancing shoes on our feet. And instead of coming down there with crawfish hanging on your ears and something green hanging across your face, here comes this one with love and compassion. When people see us coming down out of that ditch, what do they see? Is the love and compassion. They don't see who we were. They don't see those old coloring book pages that you scribble on. What they see from you is that love and compassion coming down. And that's a part of being in the family. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are, and he remembers we're just dust. My expectations for my 8-month-old, beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous grandson need to be realistic expectations. I don't need to expect any more from him, even though he's really advanced. But I don't need to expect any more from him than you would normally expect from an 8-month-old. And God doesn't expect any more from us. He knows you're dust. You came from dust. You're going back to dust. He knows you're weak. And you know what? When you walk down there with that crown of love and compassion, he just wants to wrap his arm around you and love you and tell you, glad you're home this weekend. Glad you came to see me. Let's talk. That's our family. That's our Father. Amen? Amen. And finally, we're gonna wind up and talking about it starts with the ultimate forgiveness and a fullness of life and the development of who we are as human beings, fitting together in this wonderful family of God. But yet, there is a future. There is the ultimate future. And that future is what he intends for us. As verses 15, 16, and 17 says, our days on earth are like grass. They're like wildflowers. We bloom. I'm blooming today. How about you? Yeah, well, most of you are blooming. Some of you are kind of wilting a little bit. We bloom and we die. The wind blows and we're gone. As though we had never been there. You know, I think of that often as like you dig a hole in the sand at the seashore, and that wave washes a couple of times, you can't ever tell where that hole was. We're gone. And when we're gone, we're gone. But the love of the Lord remains forever and with those who fear him. Amen? I love the book of Revelations. I love the book of Revelations in chapter 21. Because it gives me just a wonderful picture of what going home is going to be like. Let's look at some of that together. He said, then I saw, and I'm going to read more than is actually up here, but let's go for it and see what happens. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. What a glorious sight is this going to be? He saw this. And he said, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people. He'll walk among us. He'll be there with us. We can see him and talk to him, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Listen, he will wipe every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death, no more pain, mourning, crying, pain, knees, backs, necks. None of that to worry about. They're all going to work perfect, y'all. For the old order of things has passed away. And he who's sitting on the throne says, I am making everything new. You knew. You knew you knew. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. The final authority, he said, it is done. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the springs of water of life. And to those who are victorious will inherit all of this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. Forever and ever, with no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more mourning. It's all together. It's where we're going. And David was encouraging himself with these thoughts thousands of years ago. And the thoughts were that we serve a loving and a mighty God. And we can get hung up on a difference between denominations and, well, we do it this way at my church and we do it that way at my church. And you know what? It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I've contended for a long time and sometimes get in trouble for saying it, but they're all wrong. There's no way we can all be right. So one group says one thing, one group says another, and they said, but this is the truth. There is one truth, that Jesus died for our sins. There is one truth, and that truth is that he wants us to be his children, recognizing who we are and where we've come from and what we are. And he gathers together in a family. These are the truths. These are the things that all the different groups have in common. They meet together as a family. They recognize that Jesus is the Lord is the Lord who died for our sins. Pardon me. They recognize all that. The rest of that stuff is just how you do it. You know what I'm saying? Whether you stand up or sit down or sing for 5 minutes or sing for 35 minutes, it doesn't make any difference. It's what you and God feel like is the right thing for you to do. The unchanging part, not the practice, but the unchanging part is that Jesus is the Lord of our life. That Jesus overcame death, that Jesus rose from the grave, that Jesus is our advocate for us in heaven today. That's the unchangeable. And that's not going to change anytime in the near future. I dare say forever. Amen? I'm pretty sure that everybody who's here this morning knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But I'm also convinced that there are people each one of us know that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I would dare say that some of them may be in your family. And those are the ones we want to put on that crown of love and compassion, that we want to be able to show the love of Christ. They may not get the words, but everybody understands the love of Christ. And we need to be that vessel and that vehicle to take that precious word. We're encouraged this morning. We're happy this morning. And we need to take that encouragement and that happiness to those who are in trouble, to those who are discouraged, to those who are hurting in their spirits, to those who just need somebody to care about them a little bit. And maybe, just maybe, it's somebody that you don't even know right now that the Lord's going to cause you to be play a part in their life. Maybe if you go out to lunch, it'll be the waitress at the table who couldn't go to church this morning because she had to work to support her baby who was home with somebody else watching the baby. You just never know. You just never know what's behind those eyes. Like, I don't know what was on your scribbled pages. You never know what's on their scribbled pages either. And we just need to be that, walk in with that love and compassion to be able to share the love of Christ in a way that's meaningful to them. Maybe it's a tract. Maybe it's asking them a question if they know what the eternal salvation is all about. Maybe. But maybe it's just simply just loving them, becoming a part of their life, sharing with them all the stuff that you've gotten from being a part of the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you just be with us now. Lord, as we wind this message up, we want to ask, Lord, that you would call an image to each of our minds. Lord, that we might maybe see a face of somebody that we need to speak a word to. Or Lord, maybe we see and understand an act that we need to do to take this encouragement that we have in you and from you and to let it become a reality in somebody else's life. Lord, help us to pray for those who are sick, to make the extra effort to go to the hospital when those who need a touch. Lord, to be all that others need for us to be, not for our aggrandizement, but for yours. Lord, that we might take you to all the places that the word needs to be spoken, both in words and truth and in action. We love you today, Lord. We're grateful for the time that you've given us. Lord, bless Pastor Morris and Sister Pat. Let them be rested and refreshed and return to their pulpit, Lord, quickly and safely. We thank you, Lord. And for those, Lord, who are watching by internet or downloading this message in some days, Lord, we just pray your blessing in their lives as well. Lord, help us to know how we can serve them better. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.